What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional, and we're continuing our story in Genesis with Jacob and Laban and his daughters and Jacob's wives. Jacob has fled. He has left. He's headed back home, and Laban's out there in the field shearing the sheep. So what's happening next? What's going to happen next? If you haven't read 31, 22 through 30, go ahead and check it out. See what it has to say. Come back. Stop the tape first. Then come back and we will discuss the four questions. If you've already did that, well, we're about to head on into and discuss these questions, man. So the first question is, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? What's happening in the story? Well, it says that after a couple of days that Laban was told that Jacob fled, that he's gone, man. And so I think last episode I talked a little bit about the magnitude of the task for shearing sheep, for cutting the hair of the sheep. And so that's why really nobody knew that Jacob had gone, is because of the great task that it takes to shear all those sheep. I'm sure they had like flocks and flocks and flocks. And they ain't like us, where they got them shears, you know, the little hair clippers that they could just chop the hair off real quick, man. It was probably a little bit more labor intensive. Like I said, I read some books that talked about the immensity of people that it took to be able to do that and the days that it took for that to occur. It was no simple or easy task. It was a very demanding work for Laban and his people. And so it took a couple of days and Laban didn't recognize he was gone. But then when it was told that he was gone, he chased after him. Hot pursuit, man. He went after him with his buddies. He said he called his men together, took off. And then he came to the place where he was at. And he says when he got there that God came to him in a dream. And that in that dream that God had told him to not do anything evil or bad, good or bad, against Jacob. He says, don't do anything to him. And so then when he got there, they set their tents up across from each other. And then Laban went and talked to him. He says, hey, man, what is this that you've done, dude? He's like, man, you left secretly. You didn't tell me that you was going, man. And you took my sons and my daughters, man. And sons is grandsons. He says, you took my grandsons and my daughters, man. He's like, he's like, what have you done? He's like, don't you know I have the power to be able to do evil to you? To have the power to beat you down? I'm strong enough to destroy you? He's like, but God came to me in a dream and said, don't do anything evil or bad. He's like, but man, you stole my heart. He uses that word steal. He's like, you have stolen from me. And he's like, because you fled or deceived me in leaving without telling me that you were going. He's like, if you left, I would have sent you and with joyous songs, man, with the tambourine and the lyre, bro. He's like, I would have thrown a party for you, man. He's like, you didn't let me kiss my daughters. You didn't let me kiss my sons before I leave. I didn't have that closure with them before they go. He's like, you have done bad to me, man. This is wrong, bro. This ain't how it should have been. And he says, but I give you credit for that. He was like, man, I know you just long. You was homesick. He says, you just like earnestly desired to go back to the land of your father. He's like, that's cool. He's like, but why'd you steal my gods? You know what I'm saying? He's like, why'd you steal the gods? So what's going on? What's going on in this scripture? Is that for, first off, I just will say I had to stop it. Why you steal my gods? I couldn't continue on, man. I will answer the question, see what Jacob says after all that. But anyway, what is this particular scripture saying about God? Well, it's divine protection. You see, God told Jacob to go. He said, return to your land. And so when Laban, who feels like or thinks he has the strength and the power to be able to do whatever he wants to Jacob, doesn't, because God spoke to him and said, don't touch him, bro. Don't touch my man. He says, don't do good or evil. So I think that's an idiom, man. It means don't touch him. Don't mess with my guy. And so there's divine protection when we are doing the thing in which God has called us to do. When God tells us to do something and we're doing it, there's nothing that's going to stand against us, to stop us from being able to achieve the goal that God told us to do. So it's a hedge of protection, divine protection God gives to those who are following in pursuit of his will, in pursuit of what he tells you to do. I think there was a quote by somebody that says, is it invincible, or I am untouchable until God decides not to have me do the thing that he's called me to do. Until I'm done doing the thing that God has called me to do, I am invincible. So that is what God is doing in the scripture, and we should claim for ourselves. What is this saying about man? Is that we are some reality distorting people, right? He talking about that Jacob stole his sons and his daughters like captives to the sword, like prisoners of war. He's saying that he would have sent them away with joyous like singing and praises. He's talking about how he just took his daughters because they seemed to be so happy with him. Bro, what's going on with your eyes? You got some colored sunglasses going on because you don't know what's going on with your daughters, man. They ain't want to be there. They, matter of fact, stole his gods. I mean, he's like, why you steal my gods? Because they feel like you didn't give them what they're supposed to give them. And so, man, in the same way, that's how we are, I believe, sometimes, is that we only see what we want to see and not the reality of the world, man. We are reality distorting individuals, man. And the reason that we're reality distorting, I think, is because we are selfish at heart. The reason that Laban is the way he is in his vision or his view of his daughters, his family, of Jacob, is because he don't see. I mean, it's because he's selfish. It's because he wants everything. He took from Jacob all of the payment that he was supposed to give to him so that he couldn't increase his wealth. I mean, he made the brother work 14 years for the woman that he really wanted, which was 1 year, which was Rachel. He's been deceiving and changing his wages 10 times. That's exactly what Jacob says, but he's been deceiving and depriving Jacob of the things that he is supposed to have. So sometimes, man, we see what we want to see because we selfish people. So how do we apply these truths to our lives then, man? Well, I think that we need to be remembering that we are divinely protected when God has called us to do something specific, man, that he will cause us to do it until he will make the thing that he's called us to do happen, and we will be protected until it gets done. Until the thing that God has called us to do gets done, we will be protected. We need to remember that. Walking in the hedge of protection that God has placed around us because we are doing his will. Man. And then secondly, man, take a look. See your behavior. See how you're acting towards others. Is it selfishly? Is it for your own devices? And then check and see if it's real. Like, I mean, don't distort reality. Make sure that we are truly doing the things we say we're doing for others. If you say you're serving, you say you're caring, you say you're loving, make sure they're actually serving, caring, and loving the people that you're saying you're caring, loving, and serving. Don't just say you're doing it because of some self-motivated action or deceiving our own minds, because it says in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things, man. Man, we are quick to deceive ourselves. It ain't hard to do. It ain't hard to do. Well, I appreciate you guys for listening today, man. And may God of peace be with you as he allows us to crush his head. Amen.